just even going through this song, and even this morning, I was up early, and I did take a couple laps and driving around the town and just praying over today, praying over our city, and just having this song on repeat because it's so powerful, that courage and that boldness and that lion that is within us. Bible says that the righteous are bold as a lion, Proverbs 28:1. The righteous are bold as a lion. What happens when that lion begins to rear up within our spirit? And I love where, when you can picture yourself before Jesus, that he is sitting at the right hand of the Father and he has taken his rightful place on a throne, that the King of Kings put himself on a cross for you and I, that the idea and the truth of how great of a king that we have, that the king didn't call someone else to go to the cross. The king didn't have someone else. No, the king himself had to put himself on a cross so that you and I would be able to come to know him in a very real way through salvation, because he sacrificed himself for the king. How do you honor that king? What do we have to give to the king after you know that he is the greatest king in all of history? He is the King of Kings. And when you begin to see him as the King of Kings and to realize he didn't send somebody to do the job, he did the job himself by the greatest sacrifice of putting himself on a cross for you. How do we respond to that? So when we find ourselves before the King and say, how can I? How can I give you what's fit? What's right? How can I give you what's enough to say thank you for you as my king and what you did for me? With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I just want you to get this. I don't know what that looks like when you are overwhelmed with the amazing love of God, that his love has gone so deep for you and I, that how is it that we respond to that? How is it that it's enough? We come and we sing hallelujah and we posture ourselves before the Lord and we say thank you in song. But what is it when you say, God, I want to go deeper than that, and I want to honor you. I want to honor my king. I want to have such a reverence for my king. I want to have such a respect for my king. I know who you are as the King of Kings, and I know that you came on the greatest rescue mission of all time to put yourself on the cross for your people so that we may know you. What an amazing great king that you are. And I want to honor you, and I want to show you respect, and I want to walk in a reverence of you, and I want to have this healthy fear of you because you are my king, and I'm amazed by you, and I honor you, and I love you, and I praise you, and I worship you, and I do posture myself before you to say, God, this is all I got. But I want to honor you, and I want to praise you. So church, as Brendan sings this, I want us to picture ourselves before the throne. I want to picture ourselves before the King and say, Jesus, this is what I got. I want to honor you, and I want to worship you, and I want to thank you, and I want to walk in obedience to you, and I'm amazed by you. I'm amazed by you, and we honor you. Jesus, your name is above every name. Jesus, we thank you for who you are and what you've done for us. Jesus, you are the greatest King above all kings, and you put yourself on the cross, and we just want to honor you in this house today. Come on, if you would, you throw your hands up as we worship him, and as we honor him, and as we thank him for who he is and what he's done for us.
Yeah. except for our singing alleluia, alleluia.
Amen. Amen. Come on. Wow.
I don't know, bro. It's just amazing. Amazing. Just so you know, Believers Chapel, like the worship team, that second song we sang, Prodigal, which is going to drive 2022, is a song that they wrote, produced, and put together. Can we say thank you to that? We have such a gifted group. Come on, you may have a seat. When you know the talent that's on this stage, it's truly beautiful. And it's been, we've had talent since day one. I mean, it's just been amazing what God has brought in. We have a very, very long-standing worship team. Many of these members have been here from the beginning. And that screams volumes of the leadership of your worship team. It really does, that they just love to play together and they love to have fun together. Now they're starting to write together. And that's just a stunning song that's going to drive our 2022, because I do believe that there will be many who will turn to the Lord. But I believe this, watch this, watch this. I believe there'll be even more that will return to the Lord. There has to be a returning. Many will turn to the Lord. But I believe in 2022, there'll be many that return to the Lord. And we will hit that starting in January. And this is just what the Lord has put on my heart for 2022. And I'm pumped. I'm pumped about the upcoming year. I have a great confidence of the upcoming year. And I got my lovely bride. You look beautiful. I turned my wife and worship and said, honey, you look beautiful. And she says, you look great too. I just want you to know, I did this myself. Ironed myself, picked it out myself, my bow tie. Believers Chapel has brought back the bow tie. Just so you know, it was nobody else. When I was in high school, bow ties were for the nerds, man. He's like, dude, I'm telling you, 52 years old in high school, if you were wearing a bow tie, you were not on my football team. Like, you were not there. Like, it wasn't it, right? And now we brought it back. I love it.
Amen. Amen.
What's up, beautiful?
Merry Christmas.
Woo!
Amen. We just welcome all of our visitors. We are thankful for everyone who is here that volunteers, and we are just so grateful for the body of Christ here at Believers Chapel. And we just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. We're just so grateful for all that is happening here. It's amazing, and we are so blessed about what God is doing and just providing here for his church. And 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, the eye has not seen, the ear has not heard that which has entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. And as Sean preaches this word today about believe, we just want to encourage you to just receive and to believe that God is with us. He is for us. He carries us through every season of life. The Bible says he will carry you. He will sustain you. And we just want to know, let you know that there is a free gift in Jesus Christ. And if you haven't received that free gift, we want to encourage you just to believe with your heart today and then confess with your mouth that you repent, that you believe, that you believe that Jesus died for you. And so let's just pray and let's ask God to just move by his Spirit today. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that this is the day of salvation, Lord. This is the day that you have made. We rejoice and we are glad in it, Lord. And we know, Father, that you have given Sean a great word today, Father. We ask that you would bless his words, Lord, as he speaks your word, Father, that you will bless every heart that hears it today, Father. And we thank you that as hearts believe, that as they believe, Lord, and as they confess with their mouth, Father, that they can receive this free gift of salvation at Christmas time, Father. We thank you, Lord, that every heart will turn to you. Every heart that is here today will turn to you, will leave with this free gift of salvation, Father, that every single person here will hear it and receive it and walk out a new creature in Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, baby. Thank you. Come on, amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, let's cruise. Come on, are you ready? Are you ready? 11 o'clock, are you ready?
Yeah.
11 o'clock, got some juice. You always have juice. Come on, baby. Look at Isaiah 7, please. We're going to look at this, but I'm just going to give you the pregame. because this is Christmas service. Merry Christmas. We're going to cruise. If you're new to BC, I yell because I love you. It's just passion. I'm not mad at nobody. I love it. I'm in a good space, man. I'm in a good space here, and we have just some great things happening. So when I get excited, boom, it's on. It's for your benefit, baby. Let's go, because I love the Word of God, and we should be excited over the Word of God. I'm pumped for what's upcoming for 2022. I'm juiced about this, man. It's going to be an amazing, amazing year for this work, for this church, for people, for our region, for our area. So buckle up, baby. Hang on, because 2022, we're going to cruise, but I got to cruise today. Come on. It's Christmas service, so you give me a little extra time. You know what I'm saying? We'll be all right, because it's Christmas. You expect the preacher to preach longer on Christmas, because that's what we do. That's what we do. Come on, Isaiah 7 says this, but I want to give you the pregame. We're going to talk about one word today. And that one word is Emmanuel. And that one word means God is with us. So what does it look like if you really believe? This whole three-week series is called Believe. What if you really believed that God is with you? How would that change your perspective? How would that change the very season that you're in right now? How would that change any tragedy? How would that change any moment? How would that change a bad day, a bad season? How would that change even a good season to know God is with me when it's good? God is with me. When it's bad, God is with me in the middle. God is with me. What happens in your perspective, BC, when you understand that from the birth of Christ, we celebrate something that was prophesied 700 years before this, that you shall call him Emmanuel, which is a strong, screaming statement that God is with you. And what do we do with that? If we believe that, how does it change us? And this is my deal today, man. I'm going to speak something that I hope that motivates you and gets you to a place in your spirit that it's not just me motivating you. Because if I motivate you, that lasts until you get to about the parking lot. And then someone cuts you off and you start flying some fingers around. I'm sure it's a wave. I'm sure it's one of those, I'm sure. And then my motivation wears off. But if this is something that you would allow God by his spirit, watch this, to deliver into your spirit, you will be able to run out of this place with something different than when you came in this place. You'll have a different perspective of whatever season you're in right now when you go out of this place and allow God by his spirit from the very word of God, which is alive and powerful, active and effective, that we should be hungry for it. The Bible says it is like this rock that just shatters our us in a sense of where it's growing us and moving us. And this is what needs to take place today. If you're open to that, we walk out different together and not just get to the parking lot, but it's something that I want this to travel into your 2022. So the pregame is this. If you really believe that God came to be with us, then you understand that he came to rescue us. And then number two is this. If you really believe that God, he came to be in us, then he came to free us from a fear. God came to us to rescue us. God came to us to free us from fear. If we understand these two things, your 2022 will look different. When you understand what it means to be rescued, what it means to be saved, what it means to be redeemed, what that really looks like to be delivered, to be saved, and then you realize what it means if I really believe that he is in me. What does that mean to not be afraid? Does fear come? Yes, but what do you do with it? When it comes, it goes through him, and in him, I'm commanded to not be afraid. It's amazing, church. So let's get into this. Come on, Isaiah 7, please. Isaiah 7, and we'll be in Matthew 1. Isaiah 7 is the pregame. We talked about this last week. If you could believe the very essence of the Christmas story that was prophesied 700 years before Jesus' birth. And last week we went over the odds of that. Last week we covered what would that mean? What would that look like if you tried to do odds that Jesus Christ, all of this was absolutely true, that it is without error, and you only took a few of those prophecies. And I did this whole thing last week of what that would look like. And then you see over 2,000 prophecies in scripture. You see over 200 just surrounding the Messiah, just surrounding messianic prophecies, which is only about Jesus. And you just see a handful of these come true, You see that last week we just sealed the deal that God is all powerful. God knows all things. God is in control. And the word of God through prophecy being fulfilled is absolutely perfectly clear that God knows what he's doing and God is in control. Can we get an amen from last week? Come on, amen. Now look at this again. This is another word from Isaiah that again is 700 years before what we're about to read in Matthew. I want you to see it. Isaiah 7:14 says this, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold," man, highlight that, circle that, look at behold, underline that. Behold is like, if you could just picture this trumpeter that's throwing out this sound from his trumpet that is like everybody's attention, announcement is going to be made. That's what this behold means. The trumpets are sounding, all ears on the speaker. There's something that's about to be told. When you see this, behold, that's what it's talking about. Announcement is about to be made. Everybody, ears on the speaker. This is what it means. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold means pay attention. A virgin will be with child. Yeah, break that down. A virgin will be with child. This is the Christmas story. It's beautiful. It's amazing. Mary, high five to Mary, highly favored, incredible. But to break down the reality of 700 years before what we're about to read in Matthew, this is prophesied that there will be a day that there will be a virgin and she will be a pregnant virgin. Impossible. But then again, we see that nothing is impossible with God. And we begin to break this down and see this picture that there will be a virgin who will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel. One more time. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Come on, Matthew 1, please. And I want you to see this, that this is how the Lord does things. When you begin to understand Isaiah 55, where it's very clear where God is speaking, he says, listen, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts, way up here. Your thoughts, down here. Like when we can try to wrap our mind around what we're about to read, to have an understanding that God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts, not our thoughts. Please hear me. When God gives a promise, it's up to him and how he accomplishes that promise. Who would have thought that when God gives a yes, that he was going to take this unnamed girl from nowhere, no prominence, coming out of poverty, 12 to 16 years old, as common, watch it, as common and ordinary as you can get, to one day be married to the absolute ordinary carpenter. And then find herself in a stable. And to give birth to the Son of God and lay him in a feeding trough because she couldn't find a bed. I want you to hear this, please. Because when you really trust the Lord, and you say, God, your ways are not my ways. How many times, and you, I'm raising my hand, and you can raise your hand in a sense of how many times have something been fulfilled, and you, there's no way that you would have done it that way, but God somehow came around the mulberry bush in such a way that he fulfilled his promise, and you're like, God, I really wouldn't have done it that way. Like, and God's like, shut up, peanut. I don't know what, you know. My ways are not your ways. Like my son came through a no-name girl, who we do know her name is Mary, but she's as common as ordinary as she gets. And then she had to travel. Could you imagine Joseph going, hey, honey, come on. It's about a 70-mile journey. We're going to Bethlehem. I know you're almost there. Like you're so pregnant. Like you're going to walk or camel or horseback or donkey or whatever. We don't know. But I mean, how many gentlemen don't look around or pinch or anything, but how many of your wives would have thought that was a great idea? She's almost ready to give birth. Like, they don't want to go to the grocery store, right? Let alone walk or travel over 70 miles on a dusty, heated road in the Middle East to go to some place to pay taxes. Of all reason, to pay taxes. Like, amazing, right? Like, how many wives think that? I would have been all in for that. Like, no. Again, when you look at the reality of God's ways are not our ways, but his promises, please hear me, are always yes and amen. He will get it done in his way and his timing. Matthew 1:18 says this, the birth of Christ was as follows. And his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. There's an amazing message about Joseph here on his love and his care and his gentleness towards this virgin girl who he thinks got impregnated by somebody else. And he's like a little bit confused by this, right? He's like, my wife, who I really wanted to really spend my life with, man, I love her and I want to honor her, but yet she's pregnant. And I know, I wasn't there for that. So something went wrong here. And, you know, she was playing some reindeer games and it just didn't go well, right? I mean, it is Christmas. So, you know, so Joseph's in this place, truly loving this girl, but yet, I'm going to honor her. I'm not going to disgrace her, but she's got to go. She's got to go. And then an angel shows up. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bear a son, and you should call his name Jesus. Watch this. Verse 21, and she will bear a son, and you should call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. He will save, he will rescue, write down rescue, he will deliver, he will save his people from their sin. When you see that Jesus came in order to seek and to save that which was lost, this is what the angel is saying. Listen, Joseph, listen, take her as your wife. Why? Because this is a son, and she'll bear the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. He will rescue his people from their sin. Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. What's being fulfilled, that there's one named Jesus who's going to come and rescue and deliver his people from their sin. Verse 23, this is the prophecy that's being fulfilled, that Jesus is coming to rescue. Behold, the virgin will be with child. Again, there it is. Behold, a virgin will be with child and shall bear a son. Isaiah 7:14. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. So here we see 700 years prior to this, this is now the fulfillment of that. And the angel who knows the prophecy comes right here to Joseph to say, listen, dude, this is the deal. You can look it up in the Old Testament. You can look it up in the book of old and you can see where this is right here. This is where it's at. You can read it. You can see it for yourself. You're it. You're the one. The one you're betrothed to, she's the one. This is a fulfillment that Emmanuel, God is now going to be with us. And what does that look like? That he came to rescue us. I want you to see this, John 3:17. But when you begin to see that God came to us so that he could rescue us, John 3:17, which is right after the famous John 3:16, John 3:17 says this, for God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but what? Watch this, but that he might what? That he might saved through him. That the world might be saved through him. This word saved, same word here from Matthew. It's the word rescue. It's the word to deliver. It's the word to keep safe. When we understand Jesus Christ came as Emmanuel, we celebrated in Christmas. Unbelievable celebration was taking place. It's a week. We're excited about it. And the reason is that he is Emmanuel, that God is with us. He's with us in order to rescue us. Look at this, Galatians 4:4-5. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. So I love this. So that he might redeem. The word redeem, it means to buy back, to pay for. In the fullness of time. Church, when you try to break this down in Galatians, when you see when the fullness of time came, When you understand that we serve a God who knows all things, we serve a God who is all powerful and all knowing, and his timing is of his perfect, perfect, perfect timing. And in that exact moment, in a feeding trough, the Son of God was born. Because the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive, watch this, the adoption as sons. And I love this. Isaiah 46:4. This is what Renee spoke in the beginning of service. And she said, Sean, add this one. Isn't it amazing that Renee tells me what to preach? It's incredible. It's like, I want to hear from the Holy Spirit. And sometimes, how many men know that when your wife speaks, it's as if it's the Holy Spirit? I don't know. I'm just, you know, this is Isaiah 46:4. And this is Renee, which is brilliant because she's been using this verse in her own spirit and try to encourage people. It says this, even to your old age, I will be the same. We serve a God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And even into your graying years, I will bear you. The word bear here, I love this. The word bear, it means that I will sustain you. I will uphold you. It means I will be your pillar. I love this, that I will sustain you. I will uphold you. I will be your pillar. I will be your weight bearing. This is what this means. Watch this. I have done it, which means I have made you. If you have a different version than NASB, it means I have made you. The NIV says I have made you and I will carry you. What an amazing picture that is. I love this. Renee's been speaking this into me, that he will sustain you and he will carry you. And again, he repeats it. I will bear you and I will what? I will deliver you. I will rescue you. I will save you. This is Isaiah 46:4. So church, when you see and you understand, when we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate Emmanuel, that God is with us. In order for him to be with us, he came to rescue us and to save us. I mean, when you look at the different types of rescues, right? When you look at your house, if you're sleeping, man, it's 2 a.m., you smell smoke, you wake up, you see some bright light, it's smoke, you wake up your wife, honey, call 911. We need to call the what? Fire department. And the fire department comes, and you're excited for the fire department. And church, listen, truly, we have a ton of firemen, ton of firewomen, volunteers, full-time, and we are so blessed by our firemen and firewomen in this church. Can we say thank you to them? I'm just thinking of that. I love that. They truly serve. And when your house is on fire, you call the fire department and they come to rescue you. In the same vein, you have, you know, that 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning and someone's breaking into your house and you wake up and someone's there that shouldn't be there and you turn to your wife and say, call the ambulance. Listen, I got my gun, honey. Here's another gun. You go right, I go left. Don't shoot me. Let's go. And then you call the police. But we do have many law enforcement, full-time and part-time, here in this church that do an amazing job. An amazing job. And hear me clearly, Believer's Chapel, we will always back our boys, our men and women in blue, and we will back our policemen and women with everything that they do. And everything they've got to put up with, this church will back their play. And we are grateful for them. But on the greatest rescue mission where eternity was on fire, Jesus Christ came to put on flesh, to fulfill the 700-year-old promise. There will be a virgin who will be with child, and she will bear a son. And she will call his name. God is with us. Number two is this, and I want this to rattle us a little bit. Because when you see this principle from Old Testament into New Testament, what does it mean that God is with me? Okay, he's rescued me. That means I'm born again. That means I'm saved. I've understood my sin issue. I've understood what it means to repent. I got it. Believe, for you're the only way. You put yourself on the cross for me. I get that. I have confessed that you are Lord. I'm surrendered. I understand that you came to rescue me. I'm on the rescue team, man. I got it. I'm saved. I'm on Team Jesus. But there's more to the story. Because when you understand that he is with me, but he's also in me. By his spirit, he reigns and dwells within us. And in that, he commands us to not be afraid. When you realize that we can celebrate Christmas and we celebrate the virgin birth and we celebrate Joseph and Mary in the stable and we have the nativity scene and it's cool and it's awesome and we celebrate, don't have the wise men in the nativity scene. They didn't come till up to 2 years later. Like if you have them, just kind of put them over on the other side of the living room and make them travel, right? I go into houses and if the wise men are there, I'll move it and they'll be like, what are you doing? We need to be biblically accurate in this house. They didn't show up till 2 years later, maybe. They weren't at them anyways. We actually had a nativity out here a couple years. We actually put the wise men like way down so that they had, so people would get it. What are they doing over there? They're walking. They're not here yet. What happens when you see the Christmas story and you really can believe? You can really trust that if he is with me, why am I afraid? Why am I afraid? Deuteronomy 31. Be strong and courageous. I'm going to make a really strong point here. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for the Lord your God, watch this, he is the one who goes with you. Emmanuel, God is with us. I want you to see this, so you got to hear this. This is an Old Testament principle that carries over into the New Testament. This is a biblical truth from the Old Testament that carries over into the New Testament. And I want this to do something in your spirit today to jack you up to be able to just say, no, 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 no. He's with me. I will not tremble and I will not be afraid, for the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you. Remember this. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. Deuteronomy 31:8. For the Lord, watch this. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you and he will be with you. What? What? The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. This is why we take so serious our time at Seek. That first Sunday night of the month, we seek the Lord because we know this month belongs to you. We know that you know all things. We know that your word tells us that you go ahead of us and you're with us. God, you know everything that will happen this month. The good, the bad, and the ugly. God, you know it. You've already got it. You're already there. Why? Because Deuteronomy 31:8 says the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. And at the same time, watch, he will be with you. He will not fail you. He will not forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Please hear it. He will not fail you and he will not forsake you. Joshua 1:9 says this. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed. Watch this. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go, no matter what season of life, no matter what's around the corner, no matter what's around next year, wherever you go, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Be strong and be courageous. When you celebrate Christmas this season, remember his name, Emmanuel. God is with me. And in that, I'm told to be strong and I'm told to be courageous and I'm told to not fear. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Psalm 23:4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Why? Because you are with me. Church, what happens in a change of perspective when you know God is with me? God of all power, God of all might, God, creator of heaven and earth. God, who is that put on flesh in that manger, is now with me. He says this, I fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they come from me. Why? Because you are with me. Isaiah 41:10, do not fear. Again and again and again and again. Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not. How? Why? Because I am with you. Sean. I'm with you. Do not be afraid. for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Amen. When we look at Matthew, here it is. Here's the transition to the New Testament. Here's the transition to the New Testament. I want you to see this, because this is one of those Old Testament principles that you can just, I want this thing to so stick to your ribs. I want you to know that when you celebrate Christmas and you read the Christmas story and you see this word Emmanuel, you are reminded, no, I have been rescued because he is with me. He came to rescue me. But when he came, if I really believe that he is with me, he has freed me from fear. It doesn't mean that we're never afraid. It's a matter of what you do with it. Please hear me. It's never that you're never afraid. But if we put our fear now through him to know that he is with me, it changes our perspective. Look at this. Matthew 28:20 says this, teaching them to observe. This is Jesus kind of at the end. This is some of his last words to his disciples. And I want you to see this, because he's telling his disciples to teach something. He's telling his disciples that, hey, listen, this is the end game. This is what I really want you to remember. This is what I want you to know. This is what I want you to do. He says, listen, I want you to teach them to observe. Who's the them? Watch this. Teach them to observe all that I commanded you. Teach them the word. Teach them what I commanded you. And lo, watch this. Teach him what? I am with you. How long? I am with you always. Even to the ends. I love this. Who's the end of the age? He says, all right, from now, I need you to teach him to obey the commandments, and then I'm with you always. Teach the one generation that I to know my commandments, and then I'm with them always. And then you teach the next generation that my commandments, and then I'm with you always. And you got to understand this thing where the disciples took that, and what do they teach? The commandments, and Jesus is with you always, even to the end of the age. Guess who's involved in that? That we now teach the next generation, obey the commandments, and know this, that Jesus is with you always. And then we come to this place here. Hebrews 13:5-6 says this, make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have, for he himself has said, here it is, watch this. This is now Old Testament connecting with the New Testament in the very same language. It says this, I will never desert you and I will never forsake you. I will never desert you. I will never leave you and I will never abandon you. Church, what happens when we begin to see Scripture for what it says? We begin to see Scripture that Jesus is saying, listen, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. Listen, we can use that word never often. And we can use it so much at times that it loses meaning. Honey, I'll never do that again. Hunter, I'll never say that again. Honey, and we can go down a lot of nevers. And then all of a sudden we're repeating that never, because that never didn't mean never. And we do it again, and then we do it again, and then we do it again, and then we do it again. And then all of a sudden, watch this, that when you say never, it really doesn't mean much. But when the Lord says, Sean, I came and put on flesh, so I could be with you. Sean, when I say I will never leave you, and I will never, watch this, I will never abandon you. He never has to repeat the never, because he missed the first time. I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. Church, we got to hear it. When the Lord says never, He means never. He doesn't miss on His never. It doesn't lose its weight because He's missed before. Sean, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. Church, what happens in this text when you understand so that? Man, if you have a time this week, go back and just that one phrase, so that. Highlight that. I put parentheses around that. Every time I see it, so that. There is something that comes after so that. That is so vital that was before it. Sean, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. And when you know that's true, we may confidently, there it is. We may confidently say, church, when you get the true text of Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, when you get the true depth of what it means when He's saying, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you, and you can bank on that, and that's an absolute promise and that's an absolute truth. And however God fulfills that, yes, however God fulfills that promise, you can bank on it. And watch this. And what it does for us, it boils a confidence within our spirit. To be able to say, because I know that which is before, because I know that you will never leave me nor forsake me, there is a confidence that is in me that then now I can say, watch this, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Church, there is something that needs to click in our spirits when you read the scripture. To say, if I really believe that the Christmas story is Emmanuel, if I really believe that He came to be with us, God is with us. And if I believe that He will never leave me and He will never, ever abandon me. Why don't we just bow your heads just for a minute before we sing? I need to seal this morning. If you believe that, then I'm asking that there would be a confidence that will begin to swell up within your spirit. And this is the message this morning. This is what we've been praying for. Please hear me. With your heads bowed, please hear me, man. We have had people throughout this week walking through these chairs and laying hands on every seat, praying for you. Some of you by name, because we know where you sit. We know where you sit. We know where your seat is. Praying for you as husbands, praying for you as wives, praying for those who are single, praying for the teenagers, praying for the college students, the young adults, the kids. That in this today, there'd be a moment that confidence begins to boil up within your spirit to say, if the Lord is my helper, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Come on, I just want to pray over you, and then we will close in a song. Man, number one, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Have you come to that place in your journey of life to confess that He is Lord? Not play games, not come to Him on your terms. You come to Him on His terms, and His terms is surrender. His terms are to repent from sin, to turn from sin, to acknowledge sin, change your mind towards sin. Don't play games with sin. And then believe, to trust. Jesus, You're the only answer. Jesus, I believe in You. You put Yourself on a cross for me. You died. in my place, and I trust you. And now I confess that you are Lord, and I surrender. And then secondly is this, if you're in this house this morning and you find yourself in a season, you find yourself in a place in your mind and in your spirit and in your life that you've lost that confidence. It is our hope this morning as a church. It is our hope this morning as a staff and as volunteers that have been praying for you, that you find yourself this morning to believe the text. That he says, I will never leave you. And I will never abandon you. And if you believe that, let a confidence boil up within you. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. For what can man do to me? I believe it. I believe it. I believe Emmanuel. God is with me. Lord, we love you. I pray that this would seal the deal as we sing this song and close out today. We're amazed by you this morning. This afternoon, we thank you for every person who would find themselves here today, every person who's online. We are so grateful. In Jesus' name.